Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How are you feeling? Are you feeling better than me? I am congested. It's been like an every 2 week thing since I've had COVID. So my apologies to everyone who's, I think in the last episode, people were like, what's wrong with the dude on the left? Is he okay? Like, and some were like, no, he just got over COVID. Like, I'm fine physically. It's just I'm so congested. I'm going to try really hard not to mouth breathe into the mic. I'll try to mute it, but I physically can't breathe through my nose right now. So that is the only option that I have. But the show must go on because otherwise I feel totally fine. Hartley, are you feeling good? I hope better than me.
Well, I feel fine, but I don't have three kids. So
yeah, well,
yeah.
This is just like gerb magnets. And then you would think that I would be okay by now, but I guess not. I need to take some more vitamins or something. But we have news. We were expecting, I mean, not completely unexpected. Like, we knew this was going to happen eventually, just not randomly on a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern here. We got a brand new iPad mini launched, and we don't have to wait for an event. And we'll talk about whether or not an event is still going to happen. I don't know at this point. But yeah, new iPad mini. How do you feel about the iPad mini 7th generation?
I think it is everything that I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Some people seem to be quite divided on this issue. Some people seem to think it was a really minor and insignificant update because I think they were wanting like an iPad Pro mini and were hoping for OLED or ProMotion. Whereas there is a fair contingent of iPad mini users or people that maybe held off on upgrading or held off on buying one just because of how old that previous model had got, who are pretty happy with this update.
Yeah, I don't know where they got the idea of an iPad mini Pro, but first off, that would be sweet. And I feel like a lot of people would consider buying that. But ultimately, I think Apple still thinks the iPad mini is more for, you know, young children because it's a smaller form factor, people who just want something to easily take around with them to meetings and stuff and write notes down, students who just don't want to carry larger iPads. You know, all of the iPads can now be written on, correct? With some variation of an Apple Pencil. So you have different sizes to choose from. But I have so many friends that I know work in corporate jobs that are just like, I bought an iPad mini because I have a MacBook for my work, and then I got an iPad mini to just simply jot notes down, and it's a digital way of keeping notes and I don't have to carry around or lose notebooks. And like that, I feel like, is what a lot of people use it for. And then for traveling, it's great to have, you know, a smaller display with you, but something a little bit bigger than your iPhone to watch content. And it just makes sense. But I personally would love OLED ProMotion at the very least would be great. You know, some of the different things that you get in an iPad Pro in that smaller form factor. But that's not what we got. We basically got a nice internal boost to something that has needed it. When was the last time this came out? 2021, I believe.
Yes, that's
in the video. In the video, my wife is still pregnant when she was helping me hold the like iPad and like I needed somebody to like swipe through so I could get some B-roll. And I'm like, oh man, this is old. Like that's how I know we have an almost 3-year-old now. That's how you know it needs a refresh. At least that's how I knew.
That's I think how how you can sort of work out the age of all of your devices relative to your kids.
To my kids, yeah. One was let's see, some of them are turning 8 years old. Yeah, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll be able to call them. I'll just call them that. Like I'll call my youngest 2020 or the 6th gen iPad mini. Yeah, he's 6th gen iPad mini. We'll figure out names for the rest of them. It's such a
iPad mini, I guess. No, there is more to it than that.
But like, is there though? Like on the surface level, there's not. But if you really dig deeper, there really is a lot more that needed to be updated. So let's go through some of those changes.
There are about 21 changes all in all.
You're gonna need to fix
some of these are more significant than others. And what I think is important to bear in mind is that this basically brings the iPad mini up to specification with the iPad Air, because the iPad mini is not a smaller version of the 10th gen iPad, the entry level model. And it is also, as we say, not a mini iPad Pro. So it is just an iPad Air. The only difference really with the iPad Air is it's got the True Tone flash, which the iPad Air doesn't have. But other than that, they are basically in every way the same. It doesn't have Stage Manager because it doesn't have an M series chip, but it does have Apple Intelligence now and 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah, that's, so that's...
Don't think about that one too much.
So at this point, I feel like Apple is basically prioritizing Apple Intelligence for all of the iPads over Stage Manager, which is a iPad specific feature. Or is this just large iPad-specific feature? Because you said don't think about that one too much, but it's kind of hard for me not to think about it. And I also feel like, even though it's not an M-series chip, wasn't there a whole thing about how some of the non-M-series chips, but some of the more powerful A-series, like I feel like the 17 Pro could fit and make this work, right? Make Stage Manager work?
Yes. I think that there is a practical reason why it doesn't have it, which is just simply that the display is too small.
The size,
any more than...
Yeah.
You know, an iPhone 16 Pro Max shouldn't run Stage Manager.
But if it's not a good experience, maybe you should just let the person, you know, make that decision for themselves. I don't know. Like maybe there's somebody out there who wants to have some overlaying apps like that on a smaller screen.
I don't
think
it would work very well at all. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried using the multitasking experience that you can do on the iPad mini, which is where you get split view, but then also slide over. So you've got three apps on screen at once. It's very cramped. It's very, very cramped. That is not a good experience. So to go even further than that and have four overlapping windows that themselves are tiny.
That's true. Yeah, I guess it's not going
to work very
well.
I just don't think there would be much point, but I just think it's quite interesting that Apple gave technical reasons for Stage Manager because it didn't want to admit that it could bring it to older iPads when, of course, then it did bring it to older iPads. It's now got itself into this slightly muddled situation where actually, physically, there is no reason why the iPad mini probably couldn't run it at this point. But they've sort of dug themselves into this hole. And I think they should maybe be a little bit bolder about saying, well, we don't think it should run Stage Manager. But maybe at some point that admission will come, or maybe there will be a better multitasking system for the iPad.
Yeah. So Apple Intelligence is like the main biggest feature of this new iPad, basically. Still not available, but they're going to be marketing it still till, you know, the day it comes out and then even further into its life cycle here. Do you think this is a reason to go and upgrade for a new iPad if you had the 6th gen? Or do you think it's one of those like, yeah, it's nice, but I think your previous iPad mini is still just as, you know, good as it was before?
It all depends on what you use your iPad mini for.
Sure.
And I think that's the same for a lot of these sort of incremental upgrades, where if you're the sort of person that heavily, heavily uses your device, and let's say you use your device, in this case, the iPad mini, for wired data transfer. Let's say you've maxed out the storage. Let's say you take a lot of photos and scan a lot of documents. At that point, it is worth upgrading. But an average user that maybe is just reading some ebooks, doing some browsing, checking some emails, it isn't worth it. And the same goes with Apple Intelligence, really. I don't think it's worth upgrading singularly for Apple Intelligence. But if you are in need of an upgrade anyway, and you quite like the idea of some of these other slight improvements, I'm sure that a year from now, 18 months from now, when Apple Intelligence is better, and at least we've got the full version of Siri, the fully revamped version of Siri, I should say, then perhaps it will be more worth it. But I struggle to say that really anything is upgrading, worth upgrading for, to get Apple Intelligence singularly at this stage, because ultimately not only is it not ready now on any device, but actually when it does roll out in iOS 18.1, That is a very limited selection of tools that we are getting. We are getting writing tools. We are getting the cleanup tool in Photos. You are getting notification summaries. There is not a whole lot else. These bigger features that people actually care about more. I'll be honest, I think there are really only two features with Apple Intelligence that really excite people. And that is ChatGPT integration. So it isn't really even Apple Intelligence. It's just switching that on. And the revamped version of Siri that can take actions and understand personal context. And that, we don't know when that's coming. Sometime next year. And who knows how good that will even be.
I think Genmoji is going to be the biggest feature out of everything. I think that'll be the one that everybody uses. I'm just going to go out and say it. Image Playground? Probably not. Genmoji, though, I think that's like the new thing that like the younger kids, and God, I hate that I said that because it just makes me feel old, but like people younger than your parents' age, let's just put it that way. I think that'll be like the thing that adopts and gets into something like more into pop culture and stuff like that.
About Genmoji, because Apple has tried stuff like this before with things like Memoji and Animoji. And I feel like actually these things are not popular. And I feel like in a way they've sort of got caught up in this sort of cultural perceptions of what is and is not socially acceptable. And it's... I could quite easily see Genmoji being one of those things because we also don't know how this is going to play with other devices. So what happens when you send a generated emoji to an Android device, or you send it to a device that does not have the latest update? And I also question when emojis are such a sort of specific thing in terms of the reasons why people choose them. People choose emojis that are popular. So if you generate your own, that is not going to be a popular thing, and therefore it may be ambiguous what that is trying to convey. So I think it could go either way. I think it could either be this incredibly popular thing that becomes the new normal where everyone generates custom emojis for everything, or it becomes this little feature that's tucked away in the Messages app drawer, a little bit like Digital Touch and Memoji. And 2 years from now, nobody uses it and nobody talks about it. And it actually is almost a little bit of like a social faux pas.
Oh, man. Do you think it's going to be uncool if I use like Genmoji all the time? Is that what it's going to be? It's going to be
I
like,
do
oh,
wonder
this guy
if it might be uncool. Yeah.
This guy's 100 years old. whatever. I didn't say I was going to be using Genmoji. I just said I could also see it becoming something huge. But
like,
I guess you've just convinced me to say that I could see both sides of it.
Just think though, how often do you think I wish I could generate my own emoji right now?
Almost never. But yeah. But I didn't know that that was an option at the time. Now I know that that's an option.
But if it was in your day-to-day communication, like say you find something funny, you're going to just press the laughing face. Which one of the laughing faces you use maybe depends on your generation, or whether you use like the skull emoji whatever.
Okay.
But you've got those options, right? So you're going to just choose one of those to convey that you found something funny. Or you could just use the ha-ha tap back if you really want to.
So I can think of
one
specific.
Are you going to think, I know what I really need here. A custom laughing emoji.
I can think of I can think of one specific one. I'll have to tell you privately because, well, I also don't even think that it's going to be like something that Apple would allow anyways. So yes, I can think of one specific thing, and I'll let you guys all just keep wondering what is he even talking about.
But
in order for me to do this now, I need to use a couple of different emojis to get the point across. So we'll just...
Okay. I think for like inside jokes and things like that, it could be quite fun.
It's not really an inside joke, but it's more of like, you understand what I'm talking about when I send a couple of emojis in a row, but like that specific emoji doesn't really exist because I feel like, Apple definitely wouldn't allow that because it's insensitive. So
I would even argue that sending multiple emojis that are standardized is weirdly more appealing because it's like hieroglyphics and it is, emojis are a universal language. So if you're introducing non-standard things to that. I think I can just see, I feel bad for saying this, but I can just see that the sort of communication that some people have, particularly of a certain age group, that choose to pretty much consistently follow a message with a relevant emoji, even if it isn't necessary, but it's just a thing that some people do. So I don't know, if you're going to go get coffee, you follow that with a coffee cup emoji.
Never once done that, but sure.
But it's those sorts of people that always right. follow their message with an emoji to back up the context of their message that might use it and enjoy it. But the more I think about it, the more I think I'm probably not going to use this other than playing around with it.
You know where it could be kind of interesting? You know how like when you type out a message and then certain words highlight in orange and then you can replace it with an emoji? If it gave you some generated ideas already of like different ones that might get the point across more.
But how often do you even do that, Dan?
Very rare, but I wouldn't say never.
Because that changes like the nature of your communication.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty rare. I'm not an emoji type guy. I mean, that's not true. I do use them daily, but like there's only a very specific amount of emojis that I will even consider using.
Yeah, it's the same for me. But that's it. You've just said it. You would only consider using them.
Yeah.
Because they are like accepted things. They are socially acceptable. You're used to using them. You associate a message that you write with one of those sort of pre-done visuals.
I wonder how many people are listening to this right now and still thinking about what the hell could he have possibly need to type out with an emoji that doesn't exist right now?
I don't know. I dread to think.
I'll tell you later, but I'd be sitting there this whole time. You know, if you want to send a guess, go for it.
Yeah, it's nothing like we should see what comments we get on this. How you know, sort of inappropriate we can get.
It's definitely inappropriate, but it's not like something crazy. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. I'll let you be the judge when I tell you later. But
I mean, this genuinely is something I would really like to see what people have to say in the comments about. Because I could just be so off base with this. Whether Genmoji is a gimmick.
I just assumed for some reason this was a gimmick feature that, like, you know, whatever, I'm going to sound old again. But, like, teenagers would be like, heck yeah, I'm going to create my own emojis and my friends are going to... And, like, that'll create inside jokes and then they'll use that and then my friends will think it's funny. I don't know. I don't know that I would use it. I'm just saying I could see people using it. But now you've convinced me to kind of be on the fence about it. I don't know. Because Memoji was bad. I don't use that ever. Or Memoji I probably use as like a picture to distinguish myself, but not like something that I use in conversation ever.
Yeah, like I don't think I've sent like an actual Memoji of myself like waving or giving a thumbs up.
No, I always forget that's there.
It 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's just my profile picture of like me when you like get a, you know, like a message from me or whatever, like my contact card.
And I feel like that's the most that people actually do with them. I mean, even animojis died an even faster death than that. I mean, did you ever send an animoji that was like natural that you wanted to yourself?
So sometimes I'll peel back the curtains here. Kevin and Andrew, right? We have a little group chat that we use. And sometimes they like to send audio messages. But then just to, you know, Kevin, you know how he is. He just likes to send audio messages using an animoji. So I don't know why, but something about it does make it a little funny. When you see like a poop emoji or whatever, a dragon or something, just in Kevin's voice explaining a story to you. I don't know. Like I don't know. Do people use that like that? I would love to hear from everybody. Let us know.
I mean, that's one person that uses it. So I'm already quite impressed.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't use it all the time, but there are times where it makes the joke funnier. I don't know. So yeah, this was not really iPad mini or Apple Intelligence specific, but it does have some relation here. But going back to the Apple Intelligence stuff and the iPad mini, I mean, I don't know what of, you know, on day one, what people are going to be stoked about. I just think it's more for those who have an older iPad mini, maybe a fifth generation iPad mini that are like, hey, I love my iPad mini. I need to get it updated. I will say I'm surprised and I'm not surprised that one of my biggest things that I hear from people saying that they use it so much is for the Apple Pencil. I am surprised that it does have compatibility with the Apple Pencil Pro, but I'm also not surprised in the same exact way. So what about you?
Well, it's got to come up to spec with the iPad Air. And effectively, to simplify the Apple Pencil lineup, they are trying to phase out the second-gen Apple Pencil.
Here we go.
Because the iPad Pro doesn't support it anymore. The iPad Air doesn't support it anymore. And the 10th-gen iPad doesn't support it. It never has, because it doesn't have the magnetic pairing. So the only iPad that was still on sale was the iPad Mini. And that was the only reason they have to continue selling the second-gen Apple Pencil, really, in the long term. So it makes sense to get rid of that. And then they can simplify the selection of Apple Pencils that are available and just keep it ultimately to the Apple Pencil USB-C and Apple Pencil Pro, which I think is really where it should have been for a little while. It is annoying for people that maybe have a 6th-gen iPad Mini and a 2nd-gen Apple Pencil, if they want to upgrade, that they also have got to change their Apple Pencil. But it's really been the same for me with my iPad Pro earlier this year. So all iPad users have had to go through this, unfortunately.
Why did they give it the Pro name, though? I still don't understand why the Apple Pencil is called the Apple Pencil Pro. Just, do we need to do this again? Do we need to do this again with the lineup for the iPad and in conjunction with that, the Apple Pencil? Because here is my fix. I think I've said this before, maybe, but I feel like in my head it makes the most sense now more than ever. We just, at this point, get rid of the Air name. Make that the regular iPad, comes in two sizes. Make the Air and the iPad Mini the same, and they come in two different sizes, or three different sizes, because there's the 12.9 inch one now. So it's 8.3, or even if you just want to call it iPad, iPad Mini, iPad Plus, that's fine. Like, at least it makes sense with the iPhone. And then you have your iPad Pro, and then you just make the regular entry-level iPad an iPad SE or something. And then you could do the same with the Apple Pencil. You have the Apple Pencil, which works for all of these iPads except for the Apple Pencil or the iPad SE. That'll get the Apple Pencil SE or something like that. And then there you go. And you don't, and they all work together anyways like that. So it's not that hard. It's just a couple of words being rearranged and some things being grouped with others. But they all share similar features for the most part.
I think that makes sense. I think the way that Apple tries to present the iPad Mini as a fundamentally different product to the iPad Air is very strange. I think the whole idea of it being an Air is odd, considering how thin and light the iPad Pros now are. What is Air about them? There was a time when Air meant something to Apple. And even if things were per se not thinner at their thickest point, like with the wedge MacBooks, the average person saw those wedge-shaped MacBook Airs and thought, this is a thin thing. This is the Air one. And the big, thick one is the MacBook Pro. But now, what does that mean? It's confusing. And I hope that there is some tidying coming up with the product lines with the iPhone Air next year, which will be thinner. I even wonder if the low-cost Vision headset that we will get next year as well, if it is going to use lighter materials, will also be a Vision Air.
Yeah.
But see, it's really in the iPad point where was it doesn't to make get so much sense.
My whole point of this was to get rid of the Air name, not only in the iPad, but throughout. And now you're saying that they're going to keep introducing that name. And I don't think we need to do that, because, like you said, at this point, if the Air doesn't imply what it implied the first time, which is light, you know, thin, that's what it was. Now the iPad Air is heavier and thicker than the iPad Pro, which, I mean, it just doesn't, there's no need for it. And so
I understand it in some respects, and I sort of like it on the iPhone, in the sense that when you describe the iPhone 16, there is terrible confusion about, do I mean the iPhone 16? Do I mean the iPhone 16 and 16 Plus? Or do I mean the iPhone 16, 16 Plus, 16 Pro, and 16 Pro Max? Because they are all ultimately iPhone 16s. But there is one model that is called the iPhone 16.
Yeah.
So if there was the iPhone 16 Air, suddenly it becomes much easier to talk about the Air models and the Pro models.
We've been through this. We've been through this. It's all by numbers, the size of the device. That's how I would do everything. And then you just have iPhone and iPhone Pro. I mean, that's it. Like iPhone, you know, number Pro, iPhone 16 Pro, iPhone 16. That's it. And it comes in two different sizes.
But that would still have the same issue with describing them. So
why? I like one's 6.7 inches, one's not. I mean, like, that's...
But the display sizes are moving up. So if I talked about what next year would be the 6.3 inch iPhone 17, you won't know which model I'm talking about.
Why wouldn't you?
Because there will be
two next to it. Well, it doesn't also help. It doesn't also help that the Pro and the non-Pro this year are quite literally closer than ever before to being the same device, besides a few things here and there. And like that, it's already confusing when you're doing that, but I don't know. I just feel like it's not the size isn't hard to go by, because now, you know, like, I mean, it's with the iPhone, it's really just one's standard size, and that's the smallest one, and one's the bigger size. So if you look at it and you're like, oh, iPhone 17, let's remove the Air rumors from that right now, because that kind of does muddy things up. Let's just go back to the 16. And if it was just iPhone 16 at 6.1 and 6.7, and then iPhone 16 Pro at 6.3 and 6.9, if you're only looking at, oh, I want a Pro device, what is confusing about which one's which? One is bigger and one is smaller. And when you hold them together, you know that.
But so I think would in theory be the same. For average consumers that walk into an Apple store and say, I want an iPhone 16, it's kind of confusing how there is an iPhone 16, but the iPhone 16 Pro is also an iPhone 16. So I can understand how adding extra words to the names makes sense, but it's the way that they are inconsistently applied. Because if we're being honest, really it should be the iPhone 16 Pro Plus, not Pro Max, or you should have the iPhone 16 Max. But having both Plus and Max is unnecessarily confusing. And then having no name to delineate between the standard and the Pro models means that we end up saying standard iPhone 16, which is not very nice. So even though the iPad Air and iPad Mini are kind of don't really make sense that they are called those things, because the iPad Mini isn't really a mini per se. It is actually a small iPad Air, and the iPad Air is not an Air because it is not light enough.
We're not going to fix this episode.
I just think that it is possible to improve this.
Can we just get
have the right idea, Dan. You have the right idea.
Can we just get someone from Apple? It doesn't have to be Jaws. It doesn't. I mean, it would be great. But can we just get somebody from marketing who sits in on a meeting or two, who is a little bit closer than we are, and can explain why these names exist and why they go this way?
But I think the reason they do it is not to be logical, is to promote sales. I think it all is sales focused, because the fact is they don't care about people signaling that they have an iPhone 16 because they bought the cheapest model, but they want to give people that spend the most money something to say, and people know, oh, you've got the Pro Max. The Pro Max is the flagship.
Guy.
Yeah, you've spent the most money. You've got the Pro Max. And if they called it the iPhone 16 Max, that's too similar to the Pro Max, so therefore they call it Plus, so that feels like something different. And I think a lot of Apple's naming and marketing behaviors can be explained by just trying to promote sales. And that is why they won't move to just calling things by screen size. They do it on the Mac because they've done this for 20 years before they slipped into these, what I think are bad habits. And they don't do it on the iPad Pro either. But it still is a little bit strange that with the iPad Air, you go to buy an iPad Air and you go to the selector for that, and you can choose between two different sizes. But the iPad Mini is not there, even though it now is in almost every single way an iPad Air. It doesn't have the same chip, but it is smaller. What other features are different between them? I honestly don't know. They've even got the same colors now. Apple almost admitted that they are the same device this time round, because they discontinued the colors from the previous version and introduced the exact same color options that are available on the iPad Air. But they won't call this
Space Gray, Starlight, Lighter Purple, and Blue, which I'm going to use blue in quotes because it's blue, but I mean,
I like the blue.
It's not that blue though. It's very, very subtle. We've been through this before with the Air. It's
I like those sorts of colors. I really liked, and I know that this is an unpopular view, but I think that the iPhone 15 and 15 Plus colors were the best iPhone colors they have ever done.
Huh. All right. We'll see what they say. We can have a whole other color episode as usual, but we won't do that right now. So anything else on the iPad mini before we move on to one more thing?
I mean, I think that the iPad mini is still a really good device. Sure. I think, as you mentioned at the beginning, if, say, you have kids, it's a little bit like what the iPod Touch was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a great starter device. It's also good for e-reading. It's good for travel. But would I hurry to buy this model if you have the existing model? I'm not sure I would, unless you are using it really heavily. So if it is your only iPad and you are a tech enthusiast, maybe. But if this is a second iPad that you own, like it would be for me, no.
Okay. Do you think we're still getting an event? I said that I thought, you know, well, I was pretty steadfast. I'm like, all right, invites have to go out this week, right? Monday or Tuesday. But then we learned that they technically didn't go out until this time next week, if there was an event at the end of the month. But I don't know. I can't decide either. Like, so, releasing this almost makes me feel like we're going to get everything via a press release between now and November 1st.
It can go either way. And this is why I can't decide. So the things that suggest there will be an event, I think the proximity from this press release, excuse me, to the when the event would be, would suggest they've given enough clearance. And we said, even last week, I remember, that the iPad mini does not fit very well in with doing a Mac event. So that suggests to me maybe they are going to do it, because they've just thrown this out earlier, give this a chance to launch and have some time for reviewers to get stuck in, and then you move on to the Macs. Also, remember that we are expecting more Macs than we were at this time last year. Last year, it was just the iMac and the MacBook Pro. This year, it is the iMac, the MacBook Pro, and the redesigned Mac Mini, which is a whole new redesigned device. So if they did an event last year for less, considerably less, it would suggest that they will do an event this year for more. But the argument the other way is that event was not traditional. It was a very weird event. It was very small. It was very low key.
It was 26 minutes. It was very short.
They also have these leaked MacBook Pro models floating around now, which maybe suggests that it's pretty soon that they're going to come. And there would be nothing stopping Apple every Tuesday for the next few weeks, dropping something new every week. They've done that kind of thing before. Maybe next week we get the iMac, the week after we get the MacBook Pro, the week after that we get the Mac Mini. But overall, I actually think probably there will be an event. Probably.
I think
could be persuaded either way.
I was actually expecting something at 9 a.m. to happen today, like a MacBook Pro got dropped via press release.
Well, the fact that it has also maybe suggests that there will be an event. If this had been MacBook Pro,
maybe they're given a day buffer,
then we would be saying the event is off. But because it's the iPad mini, it is not certain.
Was there anything else that was not Mac related that we were expecting, or was it just the iPad mini and the 11th gen or 12th gen, whatever generation iPad we're on?
Well, it was floating that we would get the 11th gen iPad, but I don't think we will now because they've just dropped the price of that
not at this point.
The UK and the EU.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. And also, I question what that device will do next. Currently, it's got an A14 chip. So they've just discontinued the iPad mini with the A15. Are they going to put an A15, which at this point is a three-year-old chip, it's more than 3 years old, in a new device, especially considering that Apple Intelligence is such a big deal now? I almost wouldn't be surprised if we got a refresh maybe mid to late next year with the A18, And then you have Apple Intelligence across the whole iPad lineup.
Okay.
And also, it's important to remember that this 10th gen iPad started at $449, which was quite expensive. And they have dropped the price slowly because that was a completely retooled model.
Yeah.
So is this too soon to refresh that? Does it need a refresh? What would it have that is different at this stage other than Apple Intelligence? But that would mean giving it an A17 Pro, which is probably overkill for that device and would make it too expensive, and Apple Intelligence. And what else really do you want on this $329 iPad?
Nothing. I think that's the one that I recommend to everybody, that especially if you're using it for kids or just like a family tablet, just need something to get online really quickly that's a bigger screen than your phone, watch some content. It's really, I mean, you could do lots of other things with it, but I don't know. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to find out. Maybe next week we'll have different answers. We'll have an event announcement, maybe, perhaps. Maybe a new MacBook. I don't know. What do you think? What if you had to guess right now? What come next week when we're recording, we're talking about another dropped press release product?
I don't think we will have had any more press releases. I think
will there be an event?
We either will have the event invite or the invite. Could it follow the week after, or is that too late?
If everything's coming out November 1st, I really don't know how this is going to work. Because isn't there usually like a week buffer between pre-order and then release? Gurman's report was that everything was going to be coming out on the 1st. So we're really pushing it for time here.
I'm going to say that by this time next week, we might have an event invite. Maybe.
It would need to be the event, right? Because think about it. Like, no, or like maybe it's just the event. We have, okay. So if the event was going to happen, my thought would be the 21st, we get an event announcement. The 28th is the event. The products come out that week on November 1st. I guess that's not too crazy for it to come out 5 days later, right?
Hmm.
You can order right away. It'll be one of those pre-order now, and then everything comes out that Friday. I feel like Apple's done that before. But usually there's a week in between or something that carries over into the following week. It's kind of rare, I feel like, that something gets announced and then it's available. You know, even these iPads, the iPad Mini, was announced yesterday. It doesn't come out till next Wednesday.
But last year the event was 26 minutes and fairly like unusual. So
when did those products get released? Do you remember?
It was very soon after. I don't remember M3 specifically.
MacBook Pro release date was November 7th. And it was announced on the 30th. Right? It was a Monday. Monday. Let me check. Hold up. Monday the 30th. Yeah. So, and then the 7th was the following Tuesday. So maybe Gurman's just wrong. I hate to call him out like that, but, or they're really just going to do it within those 5 days. If it's November 1st. I think
that's more likely.
Yeah. Man, good for Gurman that it's more likely that he's not wrong and that Apple changes its ways for this specific event. Because in reality, if the event happens on the 28th, if it does, you would think, well, that Tuesday, the 5th, is election day too. So gotta think these things through, I guess. The 1st would make a little bit more sense there then.
Mm.
All right. Enough speculation. We'll find out. Hopefully by next week we have some sort of concrete evidence as to either another device was already released or we'll have the event invite. But let us know in the comments and hit us up on social media if you have an opinion either way. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.